This show is sponsored by Hulu Plus. Hulu Plus lets you binge on thousands of hit shows anytime, anywhere on your TV, PC, smartphone, or tablet. Support this podcast and get an extended free trial of Hulu Plus when you go to HuluPlus.com/Joey. That's HuluPlus.com/Joey. And by DollarShaveClub.com. Get high-quality razors sent to your door each and every month for a fraction of what you pay at retail. Now, go to DollarShaveClub.com/church. That's DollarShaveClub.com/church. Or just go to JoeyDiaz.net and click on the Dollar Shave Club banner.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit. Monday, November 11th. No, November 18th. Oh, shit. Get up. Shake it, motherfucker. Blast that, Lee. What the fuck? That's some real motherfucking black people there. What?
Like a sports car.
Uh-huh. Shots of God. Uh-huh.
Put it on Tim like a porno star.
Uh-huh.
Run back the tape in the VCR.
I'm coming, baby, like the big black. Are you fucking kidding me or what? The church or what's happening now? Monday, the 18th of November. I don't care if you're white, you got a black dick today. Work that motherfucker. You hear Black Friday, it's Black Dick Monday. White, Chinese, Filipino, I don't give a fuck. You got a black dick. Shake that motherfucker. What? Huh? Are you kidding me or what? Go out there, get your dick, and tell him I'm arrived. Ooh. What's up, baby? I'm on fucking, I'm ready to stab a motherfucker right in the earlobe. What's going on, baby? Everything all right?
Nothing. An amazing weekend.
What'd you do?
Nothing. It was great.
How fucking amazing is it? Well, you didn't do nothing.
No, we did.
You went to the thing. You got some fish, right? They cooked the fish for you.
No, I was thinking about it.
Thinking about what?
Fucking relax. He comes in this morning. It's like you're fucking... I said he drank a Red Bull, and he yelled at me for about 10 minutes, only faggots drink Red Bull.
That's right. Red Bull's for fucking faggots, all right? Real motherfuckers grab their nuts, and that's where the energy comes from. Your chakras. That's where the patois comes from. Your fucking cock. It's all based around the core. You grab that motherfucker when you're on the way. It's Monday. Oh, my God. I don't give a fuck. Grab that fucking cock. You get in the shower. You put some hot water on you. You fucking eat the coffee fucking cup. And you get out there on a Monday, right? Forget drinking coffee. Oh, my God. Fuck you, bitch. You fucking get out there. It's Monday. Somebody's eating your fucking lunch. And you're playing fucking games, reading a comic book, or watching Breaking Bad. Get your shit together, motherfuckers. That's all I'm telling you. It's a beautiful fucking day to be alive.
I agree, it is.
Strong Island, I love you. Governors, whether it's the fucking one, McGuire's or governors, I love you people. You people are fucking crazy. They sent Lee shirts. I mean, it's like a little home for me. I love you guys. Thank you for keep coming back. I got shout outs for you, but that's fucking later on. It's Monday. I said it last night on Facebook. It's the 26th anniversary since I kidnapped Ken Vella today. So I'm feeling kind of, you know, whatever they call it, lemon lime. I don't know. What's that expression? You know.
I don't know.
Maybe. I don't fucking know. Oh, shit. Love you, Lee Syatt. We got fucking the church of what's happening now. We're serving. Lee's not working no more. He's done. No more editing, 2 in the morning. So now he calls me. I'm going to Vegas on vacation. What fucking vacation?
It's not vacation. We're going for a day and a half.
Now is when we're going to fucking work. What vacation? You'd be fucking around for 6 months editing and putting fucking videos together. White people cooking and where the fuck? Some guy with a fucking dog. I don't even know anymore. I'm just happy to be here. I'm happy you people are awake. I'm happy you people are doing your thing. Got a lot of emails. I didn't watch the fights live, but I watched them when I got home yesterday. Mm-hmm. You know, I guess Chael Sonnen ain't the great white fucking hope.
Well, they're having a fight every 2 weeks, it seems like it.
Well, in November, they were busy. They had a big card in November, and you see Grudge Match sponsored the fight?
Yeah.
They showed the fucking trailer and shit.
Oh, shit. They showed sponsored the trailer. Uncle
I got
Joey.
About 1,000 fucking hits, so thank you. But it was really weird about GSP. I've been thinking about GSP, and a lot of people, whatever, whether he won or lost. You know, I think, what's his name? Beat him,
Hendricks,
maybe on points or something. I mean, he fucked his face up. I mean, GSP was fucked up.
Yeah.
And the other guy was not even a mark on his face. And he was very upset. You know, Mike Dolce was in his corner. Dolce prepped him. But it's really funny about GSP. He wants to take some time off. And I did a video years ago that I fucked with Duncan. He's a Satan guy, and I tell him, Duncan, you know, and the main thing of the video was about knowing what you get yourself involved in.
Mm-hmm.
you know, 15 years ago, you go into a fucking gym, Lee, and you start doing push-ups, and all of a sudden you start going to smokers, and you fight for free, and then next thing you know, you're fighting some small league, and next thing you know, you're fighting the UFC, and before you know it, you're the champion of the welterweight division, and life goes from being 22 miles an hour, Lee, to 98 miles an hour. And overnight, your life gets thrown fucking upside down, and it's not about training no more. It's this, you know, and if you know him, he has an addictive personality. I mean, when GSP trains for a fight, it's nonstop. It's gymnastics, it's basketball, he runs, he swims, you know, he does ballet. I mean, this fucking guy prepares himself.
Mm-hmm.
He understands he's a true champion. And people don't realize, you know, when you get yourself involved in something, what you're really getting yourself involved in. It doesn't become about fighting no more. It's about the media and advertising and who goes on your shorts and who's sponsoring you and who doesn't want you to say this at in interviews. And, you know, he got, I don't know how many millions of dollars from Gatorade. And so your life goes from one extreme to another, and you really got to know how to handle it. You know what I'm saying?
Like, it seems like he's handled it well. He's handled it well. I'm a new fan, but he doesn't seem to be crazy.
No. He's a great grounded guy. You know, he's had the title, I think, since 2009 or 2008. I don't know dates, but in my mind, that's a lot of fucking years.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of pressure, and that's a lot of, whatever, sacrifice. And,
is it the same thing that happened to Silva in the last fight, you think?
No. It's the same thing that happens to a lot of people. Life moves too fast, and you have to know what you're getting yourself involved into, Lee.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes, I'm telling you, Lee, you know, sometimes life, you finally find your dream, and you find your voice, and you're just happy to be doing it. And next thing you know, life just gets turned around on you. And, you know, you don't need money. And now you have 15 people around you at all times. And you went from having a manager to having a publicist and a fucking agent and this and that and this and that. And life just becomes overwhelming. And at one point, you have to catch it and go, that's it. You know, and it happens in a lot of different fucking aspects of life. You know, I got an email yesterday from a kid in Miami who lives with his father. He's 20.
Okay.
He wants to be an artist, you know, and he emailed me before, and I told him to get a job, and he got an apprenticeship. I don't know what the fuck happened, and it worked out. Another job is ending, and he's getting pressure from his father again. We've all been in that position.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting pressure from your family. You get a fucking job. But you want to be an artist, whatever you want to choose. You want to be a musician, whatever he wants to do, you know. And there comes a point where all you need is money to fuel your dream.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you don't want to work. You know, you can't take a day job because you're busy with the band and blah, 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 or whatever you're busy with. So your living becomes hard and it becomes frustration. It mm-hmm. gets fucking so frustrated.
Yeah.
That now you found your dream, but you're fucking broke.
Mm-hmm.
You found your dream, but now you're fucking broke. So now you got to finance. You got to figure out a way to finance your dream. And that's by just keep working harder at your dream. Some yeah. people say, fuck it, well, I'll get a job and work it slow. No, because the quicker you dive into that dream, the quicker you'll make a living in that dream, you know?
Mm-hmm. I'm going through it right now. My parents still now, because they knew the job was ending, were like, are you looking for a new job? I said, no, I'm just going to do this. But it took me 3 years. And I saved up enough money for probably like 6 months, if I had to. And I'm going to get unemployment. And you were like, what's all this bread for? I went and got like fucking peanut butter and bread. And I'm still going to go out with a girl on the weekends. But I'm going to just eat here for like the fucking...
No more weekend. Mediterranean food?
Oh, I'm going to have to. I do it even just for the phone call. Because I know you're calling 20 minutes.
Well, hummus is cheap, right? That's like peanuts.
Oh, no. I have two things of hummus in the fridge.
I bet you do, you nasty motherfucker. You probably rub it all over your body. But it's really weird what... When you're home and you're frustrated, and you really want to do something, and that frustration sometimes, I don't want people, if you get involved in something and you really have a dream, don't let that frustration beat you. Don't ever let that frustration beat you. Use it to strengthen you.
Yeah.
You know, I was in the same boat as you motherfuckers. I was living in Seattle. I was starting to get funny. I had 22 minutes. I'm making fucking $50 a set. I'm living in an office and I wanted more. You want more so fast, you know? You want more so fucking fast. But then you get it fast, and you don't know how to handle it. So I'm happy it came the way it did, little by little. Every year I got better at what I did, and every year I picked up another movie, I picked up another 30 minutes of comedy. You pick up things along the way. But sometimes it gets overwhelming, like for GSP, and that's why I tell people, you have to know what you're getting yourself into sometimes. You just can't look at the short range. You have to look at what happens if I do that. What's going to happen to my family? I got to travel. Is this something I want to do? I've met stand-up comics that one day came to me in Seattle and said, bro, I don't like going on the road. I don't like going on the road. Is this still going to work out for me? Yeah, you have a dream, but part of that dream, you have to work around. It's like doing jiu-jitsu. You just can't become the king at your gym. You have to go to different gyms and see what other people have to offer, and it makes you better. That's what makes you better. And, you know, three years ago, I was going to fucking quit and just do comedy locally, and I'm happy I didn't. I'm happy that Twitter came along and I'm meeting, because right now, the stand-up is good, but it's the people I'm meeting that's even better. Like Stephen Quayle fucking tweets me every fucking day, comes to the show on Long Island Saturday night and leaves. I always go outside, but I take 10 minutes just to dry the sweat off me, to drink some water, to let it cool down so the waitresses could pass their checks so it's not a commotion. He left. I like meeting people who communicate with me on Twitter or Facebook or fucking however, Instagram. I don't even have fucking Instagram. Whatever the fuck they do.
Yeah.
I like when people connect with me and shake my hand at the end. I see their energy. And it's just so weird how the GSP thing messed with me, because I know what it is to get caught up in something. He said something that he couldn't even sleep at night. When something's affecting you that you're not sleeping at night, maybe he's not happy with it no more.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he's hit so many plateaus that he's just not happy with it no more, you know? And that's why, like, somebody like Diaz, I get confused between Nick and Nate. Yeah. Nate's the younger one. Nick Diaz doesn't want to fight no more because he enjoyed fighting for what it was. Then it became something else. It became something else. I'm getting paid way too much money to do this shit. People want autographs. Some people can't fucking handle it. Some people really can't fucking handle it. So my heart goes out to GSP and whatever the fuck he wants to do. Whether he won or not, I don't know. I'm no fucking fighting judge. You know, I know his face looked like he got hit by a fucking truck. And it's sad. There were some good fights, though. You know, I know you watched them and shit, but I don't fucking know. What else is happening, Lisa? Yet?
Well, I didn't get to watch them, but it seems like, especially with John Jones and whatever that Gustafson he fought last time.
Yeah.
It seems like when you're the champion, you really have to beat the champion. It can't be, because even the people who apparently who said that Hendricks won, it was only like by like 1 or 2 points. It wasn't like he destroyed him in the points or something. And like I didn't see it, so I'm sure he did win, but it seems like you always have to, in the NBA, they always give the seasoned guys the benefit of the doubt with the fouls, and you really have to, like, convincingly, can't leave a doubt in their mind. So I'll have to watch it later today.
Well, that's what he said on the way out. He goes, the next time I learn something, the next time I won't leave it in their hands.
Yeah.
You know, that's a big lesson. You want one of these, bro?
I'll take half of you.
Let's get this fucking party started, Claire. Chibo Chew sponsoring this fucking podcast.
Yeah, they're fucking cool.
They're cool people. Now, Chibo Chew, I'll tell you, I was looking at their shit this week. I was looking at the 70s, the ones with the medical. They have the aspirin, the pain relief.
Okay.
That's the most genius thing I've had. Sometimes I work out.
And does it help you, like, with your joints and stuff?
Yeah,
like,
it takes away the little bit of a knee pain. You know, this. Listen, man, as far as the, I remember, like, smoking dope when I had a toothache.
Yeah.
You know, I had this really bad root canal one time, like 5 years ago when we lived in Hollywood. And it was throughout the holidays, so the dentist was closed and blah, blah, blah. And I remember smoking pot and going, this ain't medical. This shit don't work. And then 30 minutes later going, what happened to my toothache? I got so high, I forgot about my fucking toothache. So I guess it does fucking work, you know, I'm pain. That's what it is. It tastes good, don't it, you know? As you're swallowing it, you know you're going into the void.
I can only do gummies.
Yeah, no, the gummies are very, and they're easy. Look at your face. You start breathing, your eyes. What happens to you? Why do you get panicked? You can't go into panic mode.
I'm not panicked. It's just remembering fucking
the last podcast. Just walking into the fucking void. You know what I'm saying? Do me a favor.
Yeah, what's going on?
Put it Into the Void by Black Sabbath.
Sure.
Just put it Into the Void, just so you can listen to it. This is where your mind is going when you eat a fucking gummy bear.
I can still type, so it hasn't worked yet.
No. It's not going to fucking do nothing.
Yes,
it's,
what do you mean?
Listen to this motherfucker. This is what happens to you when you eat one of those gummy bears on a Monday with your big black dick. What? Huh! Crank that motherfucker. This is what happens when you eat one of these, what are they called? Fucking green hornets from Chibo Chew. 70 milligrams of death. How many did you eat, Lee? You ate half of it?
Yeah, I ate half, yeah.
That ain't half, cocksucker. Take another little bite.
Oh, no.
That ain't half. That ain't half.
That's enough.
We'll eat the other half before I leave.
I'll eat the other half next Monday.
Next Monday?
Yeah. We're having Monday edibles.
What happens if there's a nuclear fucking bomb next Monday? What are you going to do with that? Speed that up a little bit. Listen to this shit. Okay, speed that up a little bit. Speed it up a little bit.
It's a minute.
A little bit more.
Minute and a half.
Oh, shit! That's it. That's a Chibo Chua entering your head right there.
Really?
Crack it, Lee. Rocket engine burning fuel so fast. Oh, shit. Off into the night sky, they pass. Through the universe, the engine whines. 40 to the end of the night. Back on Earth, the flame of life burns low. Everywhere is misery and woe. Cut that shit. What, motherfuckers? Break out that fucking number. It's Monday. Anyway, last night I put that it was 26 years since Kent Vella, and he won't return my calls. And, you know, 10 minutes later, the fucking phone rang, and it was Kent. And it's weird because I hope he calls today. You know, I didn't schedule another guest. I just wanted him to call. I'll call about 6:45 to remind him, and hopefully he calls. He might be embarrassed, but it's weird, you know, how I feel. I always feel weird on this day. I always think about the kidnapping. I wear it close to my heart, like a Medal of Honor. And I tell you why, because it changed my fucking life completely in so many fucking levels. It changed my life completely in so many fucking levels. And I'm not saying that maybe you have to go to prison to find out where you stand in life, but it seems sometimes nothing really good comes out of your life unless you take a big chance. And then you find something out about yourself. And you shock yourself that you did something. Like Lee, for example. How many of your fucking friends are out here that you grew up with?
None.
Not many of them. You're out here and you've been out here for 4 years now.
Yeah.
It shocks you. You haven't called home for money.
No.
It just shocks you. It shocks you. It really does that you made a move. So that's why I always tell people, make a move sometimes. You know, for some people, it's just moving out of the house. For some people, it's going away for school. For some people, it's joining the service. But it makes you find out so many things about yourself. It makes you find out so many things about yourself that in a way, it's empowering. In a way, it makes you feel bad. Like this kidnapping, the thing that was that I found out, listen, man, I feel bad that I did a crime. Yep. I feel bad that I took a guy and tied him up. I feel bad that I double-crossed the guy. And it wasn't who... It's not in my DNA to do something like that. I blame it all on the addiction, but I take responsibility for it. Again, the coke addiction took over me at one point. From 84 to 80 fucking 8. And who am I lying? To 2007, the coke addiction took over my mind. It was just going somewhere else. You know, it just went to different places. I knew what I could do, and I knew what I couldn't do.
Do you think it was like a negative? Like, you turned it into a positive. But like you found something out about yourself in a negative light, kind of.
I found something about myself in a positive light, and I found something about myself in a negative light. There's so many levels of this where I found something out. I didn't like the part of tying them up. I didn't like the part of the guy with a machine gun. I didn't like all that stuff. I'm an old school guy. I'll put a gun in your fucking mouth and make you kneel down and let's fucking rob you. I didn't like all that shit. I didn't like how he popped up and did all that. That's not my world at all. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not my world at all. I like doing shit straight up with people or not at all. You know, it could have been Vella, it could have been somebody else who I kidnapped that day for drugs. Eventually, I was going to do something. I was already treading in that world where it's bad enough as it is because you're going to rob the wrong fucking person. They're going to shoot you. So I was treading in that world. And I knew, but I didn't know. Mm-hmm. But I didn't give a fuck at that time. I really didn't know. I was stuck. I was stuck in Boulder. I was doing good, which meant I was stuck. For the first time in my life, I was doing good. I was making a living. I had clothes. I drove a car. I had an apartment. I lifted weights. I had a dog. I had a girlfriend. I ate at restaurants. You know, what didn't I have going on? I went to classes 2 nights a week, but that wasn't good enough.
Did you ever think that's why, like, you didn't...
Oh, yeah.
Like, if this was a movie, you would have had the before, you would have been at in Boulder, and you would have, like, had a moment where, like, you freaked out and, like, oh, now I got to do a big score because this is too normal.
There was no reason to do a score.
Yeah.
It was so normal. There was no reason to do a fucking score. There was no reason. But it was that thing they call self-sabotaging. You self-sabotage yourself. That's all it was. I didn't want to go do good in life. I didn't feel that I was good enough to move forward. Sometimes it's not that life or whatever. Sometimes it's you that stops you. Sometimes you don't feel you're fucking good enough. And at the time, I didn't feel I was good enough. I still have that shit. I still have that. I watched Tyson last night.
Mm-hmm.
Did you watch that?
No.
Oh, you don't have HBO. That's fucking right. You want to save the $18. Well,
yeah,
Tyson does a one-man show, and it was on last night. He talks.
They filmed that? Oh,
yeah, and he talks about cocaine.
Okay.
And how, you know, you take cocaine and you fuel low, what is that? When you
self-esteem?
Yeah, that's what, everybody has that shit. You know, nobody looks in the mirror and goes, today's my fucking lucky day. unless you work yourself up, unless you do things to find out things about yourself that make you believe that. Mm-hmm. You know, that day when I kidnapped Bella, the most important thing I believe was, and I tell you these people, and you could fucking stop watching this or keep watching this. I don't know how to say this without fucking insulting nobody or even not saying it right, because I usually say a lot of fucked up shit.
Yeah, who are you going to insult at this point?
When I went out to the car to pull the gun out, and I wanted to go in and shoot them, you know, I realized I was a pussy. For not shooting them, I made me realize like a loser for not shooting them. But on the way home, I realized I had done the right thing. I didn't want death in my life. I had already death in my life. I know what happens when you dabble in death, where your life goes. But it's not that I didn't like Kent Vella or I didn't like Tidwell when I robbed them, whatever, when that went down. I didn't like myself. You know, I didn't like myself. And that was the most important thing I learned about that day. You know, I don't know if it was a negative or a positive. Right now, I'm stuck. It was a negative because I hurt someone and I ruined somebody's day. And that's anti what I believe.
Yeah.
I really ruined his day. You know, even though he kept ruining his day after that. You know, a lot of people don't know this. And if he calls, I'll tell him. In 97, I hired a public investigator for $2,000. I got the Taco Bell commercial just to see how he was doing. You know, and the guy said he was in Arizona and he had a job. Whether he was doing drugs or whatever, I didn't know. You know, but the last time I saw Vella, I bought coke from him in Boulder in 1994 or something like that, at some bar or something like that in downtown Boulder. I know the name of it, but I don't. I forget. Pearls. But it's so weird how it made me find out so many things. And I wish I would have done something different. Listen, sometimes you go to college, okay? Mm-hmm. Sometimes a young man or a young woman goes to college and they go to college for philosophy. They just want to get a degree to skate through to please their parents. And when they go in there, they find out they like fucking aerospace engineering or something. I'm just making something up, guys. But you end up striving because you went. You went and you thought you were going to be mediocre, and you ended up going and said, fuck mediocrity. I'm going to be the best I could be. I'm gonna find myself. So this is what happened by me going to prison.
Yeah.
By me paying my debts. And trust me, man, I had chances of leaving. There wasn't America's Wanted. Wasn't on yet. I had a friend in South America who had a Hertz dealership who said I could go down there and be a trainee and work with him and make money in South America. Those were the things that didn't make me a loser. Those were the things that didn't make me a fucking pussy, that I didn't run away. I said, fuck it, even if I get to 6 years, I'm going to go do my time, and I don't know what I'm going to come out as. I don't know if I'm going to come out a better person, but I'm getting what I deserve. I figured that if I did the time, I was paying the penance for all the bad things I had done. I was even with society because I had a chance to split, and I didn't split. So by me doing my time, going to court that day and reporting as Jose Diaz and putting the handcuffs on me and walking into my cell, that whole thing was for me to get even with life. For everybody I robbed, every fucking piece of gum I stole, that was my way. You know, I didn't go to jail for Kent Vella. If you know the story, I mean, it wasn't like I robbed some innocent guy that was at home with $10,000 of his life savings. No, I was robbing a drug dealer. Him and his roommate were fucking drug dealers. That doesn't justify what I did, at least I had, no means. But there's levels to this to make me feel better about what I did.
Yeah.
Hopefully he calls and we can straighten this fucking shit out.
You said at the beginning that every year, like, you think about it and you value it for what it did for you. Did, like, I can't imagine just knowing what you did after you got out until 2007. Like, it doesn't seem like you did that every year. From the time you got out, I would imagine it's a new thing within the past 10 years, maybe, or something.
What's that
you value your time there. Like, when you got out, were you like you weren't negative or anything about, really, it was right away?
I knew I'd gotten a chance. I knew I'd gotten away. It was 2 or 3 years of my life, and I knew that I had gotten away with murder for the things I had done, but now we're even. You know, I didn't pay taxes from 91. Okay. To 2005 or 2006 or something like that. I went down to the tax thing with my wife and we worked out a deal. Because I went down there and worked out a deal with the IRS, they forgot. They only went back 7 years, which they do on everybody. But I went and worked the deal out. I didn't, you know what I'm saying? I walked in there voluntarily myself. They were just going to garnish me. They don't give a fuck. The government will garnish you quicker than shit. You know, but it's just amazing sometimes when you have to face your responsibilities. And I didn't even know what I was doing. I was facing my responsibility, but I wasn't claiming responsibility.
Yeah, because
there's a big fucking difference.
Yeah. I was just going to say, like, I mean, I don't want it to seem like I'm busting your balls and more getting paranoid because of the fucking edible.
No.
But, like, if when you got out of prison, you were like, you saw it for what it was immediately, why did you keep doing coke for all that time after? Because in reality, you were clean after you got out of prison.
Oh, yeah, I was clean, but all I was doing, it was a part of my life. I was chuckling and jiving, brother. That's what I did best. I was chuckling and jiving around the topic.
Mm-hmm.
You ever have to clean that printer?
Mm-hmm.
You have to clean that printer, Lee.
Yeah.
You have to clean it. But you don't want to clean it. You'd rather paint the fucking wall than clean that printer. We used to have a friend that had always things to do. There was always a podcast to edit.
Mm-hmm.
But they would do everything else but edit the podcast. And then when they wouldn't edit the podcast, they'd use it against me. Do you understand me?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I did videos. Well, I could care less about the videos. You were supposed to edit the podcast. There's a lot of people who live their life like that, that charge to clean the printer. That's what I was doing. I was never cleaning the printer. I was doing everything around here but cleaning the printer. But I cleaned the door. But I did the windows. But I vacuumed. But I took the scum off the fucking couch. That doesn't matter. I didn't take care of what was supposed to take care of.
Mm-hmm.
The fucking coke problem with me, man. I wasn't out of fucking prison a week, and I was already had a line up my nose. I'm not going to lie to you and tell you, you know, I seen the light. Oh, my God, no. I got better. You know, when you walk into the jail, you're officing a gentleman. He says, you didn't get your shit together. You just polished up the corners a little bit. When I get out of jail, I didn't get my shit together. I just bullshitted myself and polished the corners a little bit. Now I knew how to worm myself around the system more. I knew that I was never going to cop over an 8-ball and have it on my person. I always knew now that I was cop coke a gram at a time, so if I got arrested, I could blame it on the addiction. I knew so many fucking things now to escape the... When you go to prison, it makes you a better criminal.
Yeah, you were saying...
You know, it makes you a better criminal. If you meet different people, you could become a better criminal. Some people will be a criminal all their fucking life and end up dying in prison. Take somebody like Carlos Leder, who was New York City born and raised, whatever the fuck he was, and he went and did time, and when he was doing time, he figured out routes from Colombia. So when he got out of prison, he went to the Medellin cartel, and he said, I want to handle your transportation. He became a better criminal when he went in. He met old-time guys who said, no, you don't fly into Miami. You should fly into Arkansas and cut a deal with Clinton. You know, that's where all the coke was going. Everybody thought it was going to Miami. That's where the amateurs were taking the coke. The real motherfuckers are taking it to Arkansas. You follow me? There's little things when you go to prison that you only find out when you're in prison. The thing that devastated me the most was people talking about undercover cops. How they would get busted and then 3 weeks later go to the preliminary hearing and it was an undercover cop, but he wouldn't show. They just had testimony from an undercover cop. And then by the time you went to trial, the undercover cop would show up. He would go to rehab, he'd get cleaned up. He would get his arms, his tracks would go away. He would shoot in his toes or whatever. And these undercover cops were doing drugs with people, which in a way is like entrapment.
Yeah.
You know, listen, the only way I'm going to sell you a fucking kilo of blow is if I see you doing blow. You understand me? You're not going to show up with a suit and tie and say, I'm a businessman. Not in my fucking world. That shit works on Miami Vice. You show up to see me to buy fucking coke from me, you better fucking do a fucking 8-ball in front of me. You follow me? That's just me. So I found out things like that. I heard stories about undercover cops taking rides with people to Miami to buy fucking cocaine and coming back. I heard about stories where they would go to a hotel room and leave coke in the hotel room to sell and go to eat breakfast. When they come back, the cops are waiting for them because the maids would ratchet out. You know, it's just, I learned so many different precautions. I learned, you know, just you learn so many fucking things from so many different convicts and how they got caught. So it makes you a better. So when I came out, I was still a motherfucking $300 a day fucking criminal. My goal was to go out and rob every fucking day, whether it was shoplift or bump into a truck or rob a fucking house. But I did everything under the radar. I did everything under the radar. When I got out, my wife had to draw up the fucking a background report last week for the student loan people.
Yeah.
I got a student loan thrown at me from 1990 or something like that, a student loan. So my wife had to get a police report to prove to them that I had felonies at the time of the student loan. Let me tell you how fucked up I was, guys. You want me to tell you how fucked up I was? Just so you people that are at home going, I can't get my life together. I get out of fucking county jail after doing a month for kidnapping, aggravated robbery. I'm out. I get out on bail. I post a $50,000 cash fucking bail. My in-laws posted for me. I get out. I can't get a job selling cars. My name was in the papers. My head was somebody else. So I got a job working at Hertz. Until I found that job, I shoplifted. And what I would do every day in Boulder, there was these stores on the hill by the college that buy CDs. Every college has them. Mm-hmm. Buy and sell CDs. I would go to Sears, Roebuck, and walk out of there. I was out on bail. $50,000 cash bail. I just spent a month in county fucking jail, and I'm robbing fucking CDs every day to make a living. That Bruce Springsteen one, the collection, the seven CDs, whatever. I would take that shit, walk it up to the fucking hill. They'd give me $150, and that's how I lived. I bought a bag of weed, some blow, some food for the house. I'd pick my fucking, whatever I fucking did at that time, you know, whatever the fuck I would do. I didn't stop. So one day I get busted for the fucking, all right, I walk into Sears. I put the CDs together. I get like a shirt. I wrap them around the shirt. I walk out of fucking the Sears. It's the backside of the mall, so nobody can see. I'm walking to a car I borrowed from somewhere, and I hear, hey, you, stop. And I turn around. It's a black guy running and a little skinny Mexican guy in a scooter, like one of those shopping carts.
Yeah.
And I fucking start running. I start running like a motherfucker. They're chasing me. They're in hot pursuit. I'm a little thin. I'm out of county jail. I'm running. I'm in shape. I'm fucking sprinting down. But they're hot pursuit. They're young kids. And I'm throwing the CDs at them, like to throw them off. And they're spinning and hitting them in the head and shit. So I finally fucking, they get me. The cops come. They arrest me. I gave my friend's name in Jersey. I never told you this.
I think you still told them on the last podcast a little bit. You started it.
They took me to fucking jail.
Yeah.
They took me to county jail. I told them I didn't have an ID.
Yeah.
So they said, well, you got to call somebody to come in here and get you. I called a friend of mine. I go, hey, yo, this is da-da-da-da-da. I gave him the name. Come on down here. Like, who? It's Joe Diaz. I go, no. It's this and this and this. Come down here. Tell him you know such and such and such. Lisa, yeah, and get me out of here. And the person's like, what? Trust me. Just come down to the county jail.
Yeah.
And an hour later, somebody's like, somebody's here for you. They're going to say that you're Lee Syatt, and they got me out. Let me tell you how demented I was. I got a letter because I gave them my address. This is how fucking retarded I am. Well, some way or another, I found out I had to go to court for this shoplifting. They called it theft under 200 or something like that. I knew it was a misdemeanor, so I gave him a fake fucking name. Right? I gave him a friend of mine from Jersey's name. There's some good motherfucking reefer today. Well, the edible's kicking in already, so.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is, cocksucker. It's Monday madness here on the church. I get out of fucking jail. Mm-hmm. They send me out in the county jail. They send me a letter. I got to go to court for theft to answer. I go down there under the name of whatever, plead. They give me 6 months probation and 60 days community service where I have to go. I pick the AIDS house where the people have AIDS. I go paint every day. I go get them lunch. Nice people. This is how crazy I was.
Now your friend has a criminal record because of you.
About 2 years later, 3-4 years later, I go to Jersey. I meet him. My friend says, dog, somebody got arrested and used my fucking name in Colorado. Can you believe that? He knew it was me. He just...
I would have killed you.
Because they send your fingerprints to Washington, D.C., and that's when they come back and go, this ain't Lee Syatt.
That's fucking crazy.
So I had to learn my lesson, Lee, if that's what you're saying. The cocaine, man...
Do you regret doing it?
It had become such a part of my life. Well, after the kidnapping, I didn't really let it become my life anymore. Like, from fucking 83 to 87 till I kidnapped that kid, I didn't stop. You ever eat, remember when you ate the edibles?
Yeah.
The gummy bears the ice house last time. The next day when I called you, you told me you were still high.
I was.
That night you were still high. And if you tell some people that, you're like, you're fucking crazy. Well, let me tell you something. You do cocaine 5 nights a week, you never come down. You come down off the high, but you don't come down off that shit, that exploitation of your dopamine and all your fucking levels of your body. So your body and your mind are thinking somewhere. Your thinking becomes different because all you're thinking about is that drug. For some people, it's Oxycontin. For some people, it's heroin. For some people, for me, it was cocaine. And no matter what, it's always in your mind. You can't commit. I look at my baby now. I look at Mercy. And I play with her, and I love her, and I throw up in the air. I'm having a great time with her. And I think of my first child, Jackie, how I remember throwing her up in the air and all that stuff, but I wasn't having the same time. the same great time. It wasn't getting to my bones. You know why? Because I had an addiction. And when you have an addiction to something, you can't give 100% to something because this shit goes into your fucking soul. And I didn't know that till the age of 50. Now when I saw Mercy, the differences, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I would have been a different person at that part in my life. Maybe if I wouldn't have been on coke, I would have never left Boulder in 95 to try to be a comedian, you know? There were so many different... So I don't know what the coke did to me and what it didn't do. But if a little fucking edible stays in your system for 24 hours, I can't imagine what cocaine does when you're doing it 4 or 5 nights a week. It's got to be all you think about. It was up in my stage act. It was in everything, man. And that's the bottom line with that shit. It just gets into you. And there's until you get it out or until you defeat the beast that's making you snort that shit or drink that shit or inject that shit, your life will be fucking the same, man, you know? And I'm sorry I did it. You know, I really don't give a fuck if he calls or not. You know, I'm just happy I got this shit off my chest today.
So yeah.
Thank you for beating it out of me.
No, that's great.
Let's put some Tony fucking Bennett on. Absolutely. And see what's cracking. No more talking about this dead shit and kidnapping. That was a long time ago. We put it behind us. This is all that. Come and smoke some dope with Young Blue Joint. Come here, cocksucker. It's Monday.
I can't move right now.
You can move.
I'm fine. To pick up the pieces
when somebody breaks your heart. It's a beautiful fucking jam on a Monday. I only listen to it on Mondays. Somebody twice as smart as I. Really is. I can't believe my mom used to play this every day. Fucking amazing. At the bar.
Yeah.
It's fucking beautiful fucking jam. So it's all about people. The church of what's happening now. I'm happy you're listening. I'm happy you're having a good time. But you got to get up and get the fuck out there. People are waiting. Somebody's got your Gitas in their fucking pocket. What happened to the music, cocksucker? I'm just dropping some knowledge over TB. You know TB?
I know him personally. Who'll leave you to
learn that loves company. What's the story, though? What's the next big Jewish holiday?
Probably Hanukkah.
Why are you turning off the music for? Nobody said turn off the music. What? I asked you a question. It's fucking Jeopardy. I asked you a question. I didn't say turn off the fucking... There you go. We're just talking.
Okay. Let's talk. Hanukkah, probably.
Hanukkah. What is that? You got the Hanukkah
late bush November, in, I think.
Late November. I bought a Jew cookie the other day at Gelson's.
Yeah?
It was a blue star.
Yeah, that's for that. Yeah, it's like it changes because it's a different calendar. But I think it's like late November, early December this year. What?
Let me give some shout-outs real quick. Because I had a really good time in fucking Long Island. Some kid came up, Vamos, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Excuse me, they invited me to train on Saturday. I didn't have a gi. And when I'm out on the road, I usually go to bed so fucking late on the East Coast that I can't get up in the morning. That morning, I got up like at 8, but I was back in my room by 9:30 sleeping. I ate some oatmeal. But I want to give Vamos Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu a shout-out. Rob and Laura, who gave us a card, one for me and one for you. My man Jim Davis, my man Zachary Fish, my man Kevin and Harrison, whatever the fucking brothers. Stephen Quayle, get it together, cocksucker. Raul Landrano, Tony LaQuasto, always putting it together. And Victor Salazar, what are you fucking nuts or what? And on top of that, you know why I'm getting fired up? Because I'm back on the Alpha Brain lately.
Oh, shit.
I take breaks from it. I take 90 days because you get too fucking intense. But it's the holiday season. I'm going to have to bit slap Santa. Grudge match is coming out. Fucking Brooklyn Nine-Nine on Tuesday. I'm on tomorrow night. So after Sons of Anarchy, bang! You got Brooklyn fucking Nine-Nine. And that's how we roll it, motherfuckers. You know what I'm saying? Always here for you. Always here for you, motherfuckers. What else is going on, Lee? What else you do? You walk around this weekend?
No, it's with the girl.
Did you do some fucking bridges? Did you kick your feet up on the wall and get the circulation going so the blood from your fucking little feet go into your heart and you pump that new blood? Because that's very important. You got to repump that fucking blood, Lee.
Okay, I'll try.
It just sits in your feet and gets fucking purple.
My feet are fine, I think.
You sure?
Yeah. No, but I was thinking about it.
What were you thinking about?
I'll wait too hard to say this sentence now. But like halfway into doing the podcast, like when we moved here, I talked a lot about feeling like I missed out on some stuff, like partying and things like that. And this weekend, I realized I didn't. But it's not. It's because of me dating someone now and the way it's going. I didn't miss it. Like Saturday night we went out and did something, but Friday night we just watched a movie and had dinner.
That's what you're supposed to do. I don't like Mexican music. You play a little Mexican.
Oh, she didn't like. She doesn't like Mexican music.
So you fucking. You don't care what she likes. You put it on because you like it.
She got lingerie. That was the first time that ever happened.
Oh shit!
I liked that shit. That was cool.
Oh shit!
But yeah, it was awesome. It was and I wouldn't like clubs or stuff like that. So I and like yesterday we went into the pier and got shrimp and. With her mom. Like, I've never hung out with a girlfriend's mom before, and it's just really cool, and I don't think I missed out on it now. I was missing out on that, and I just, everyone else likes going to clubs, so I felt like I was missing out.
You go to clubs, when you go to a club, do you sit there and ask yourself, what the fuck am I doing here?
Yeah.
Okay, guess what? Me too.
Yeah.
Since day one. Since I was fucking 17, 16. I like concerts. I really like going to concerts. Yeah. I like the whole experience of, you know, the camaraderie, your friends, and drinking, and smoking some pot, and seeing some people. Then that, I outgrew that a little bit. I like going to smaller venues.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to go to big things and be rubbing up against people and bumping up against people. But the bar scene, I grew up in a bar scene, and in my mother's bar, and then later on in high school, you know, I didn't have a house in high school, after high school. I didn't have a place to go that was mine. You know, you guys went home at 3:30. And you watch your TV. I had to go to somebody's house. Think of your mother coming home and me being in the living room watching with the feet up. Yeah. So I knew that wasn't appropriate, so I would stay out of people's way. So I would stay at this bar, Joan Mary's. They had sandwiches, and we'd shoot pool, and we'd drink beer. And I wanted it to be one of those guys. I wanted it to be one of those guys on Cheers, but
mm-hmm.
just never panned out for me. You know. And then when I got to Colorado, those bars are different. They become like a community of fucking drunks. You know, a lot of those bars are just people who, like us, you know, instead of being stoners, we're drunks and they do everything together. They get buses and they go see Jimmy Buffett and they go to events together and shit like that. And I like that, but I didn't, you know. But the club thing, I always felt out of line. For listen, I wasn't a good looking guy like that, and I wasn't, I could dance and shit like that, but I wasn't into the fake scene. I'm not going to give you two kisses internationally, you know. And I remember going to Studio 54. And being more happy just to be there. Like, I was proud of myself for being there.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, what did it do for me? Like, it doesn't, like, nobody sees that I went there. It's not like I went there and got my dick sucked. And, you know, I snorted coke in the bathroom. Whoopee. I could snort coke in my own fucking bathroom. You know, that's what I did.
Yeah.
Did I pick up chicks there? Did I get lucky? No, I'm not going to lie. They didn't tell you I went to those places. No. And that's why I never thought they were for me. But it's so funny how my whole neighborhood was small-minded that way.
Yeah.
When I went home with my wife was like, I always had to get out of here because I always felt like the community was a little small-minded. All fucking communities are small fucking minded. No matter how big of a city you live in or how metropolitan. Look at my friends. 70% of them did the extraordinary. They went to college, went back, got a job in the city, and they live in my fucking city, and they still hang out with each other. And they go to, you know, when Steve Avillo's band performs, they go to the thing. Was that for me? No. You know?
Like, we went to a show Saturday night. We went to get dinner, and the only place open was Applebee's. And it was like, it was in Pomona, so it's kind of small towny. And there were people hanging out, like guys who went in by themselves just to Applebee's and were there at midnight
to all, pick up chicks.
All laughing with the Applebee's bartender. And I was like, if this was the best part of my week, that'd be a bad fucking week.
So one man's chicken is another man's gumbo.
But it's the Applebee's. Yeah.
Hey, dog, you know, when you go to fucking a small town to do comedy, you see things that you sit there and go, holy shit. But listen, let me tell you how small-minded I was. I remember me, Veneri, Glenn Conti, and somebody else getting in the car, his Z28. With T-tops and driving from New Jersey overnight all the way to fucking Daytona Beach. Did I ever tell this story?
I think you had him calling.
Yeah.
And you were there for like 20 minutes.
We were there for 20 fucking minutes. Went to the room, packed, got back in the car, and went right back to the bar. We didn't even go home where we hung out. We didn't take showers. We didn't go see our girlfriends. We went right back to Joan Mary's because we were sick without Joan Mary's. Sick. We lived 8 minutes across from the one of the biggest cities in the fucking world, New York City, 24 hours, and there was nights we'd go to fucking Joan Mary's, stay there till 3, eat a Quaalude, do blow, and that was the biggest thing in our world. And then from there we go to Ernie's and wake him up, and he'd get up off the fucking pool table and come and fucking talk to us and shit like that. That was the biggest thing. That's small-minded mentality.
Yeah.
But then there were people that, since high school, never even had a drink at our bar. They went to the city every fucking night and did pills and hung out with artists. And, you know, went to eat at this fucking, went to this great gallery in Soho or NoHo, whatever the fuck they call it. You know, that's not for me. And I don't put people down for that.
Bless you.
That's silly. Excuse me, cocksuckers. Oh, fuck, I gotta give a blast. There's an allergy in the room or something.
It's a little weed in the room.
Oh, my God, I like it. People hear me doing this, they must be saying, this motherfucker's doing a blast of fucking yay. I ain't doing no fucking yay, all right? I'm just having a good fucking time here. So what? What happened?
No, I wanted to talk to you about something. Because you say something, and I didn't really understand it until this weekend. You say that you finally, like, made your wife happy and stuff with the kid. And I was...
But now I make her unhappy when she sees me. You know what I'm saying? I make her happy with the baby. Once she sees me, the happiness goes
away. Pissed off. But I realized something that... it feels great when you do something for, like, to make someone else happy. Like, we went to a concert that she wanted. I'd never heard of them or anything. And I realized while I was there, like, looking at her being so happy. And, like, there were people there. And, like, they were pissed off. They were having a good time. But, like, the person they were with was happy. But, like, I made a conscious effort to be happy and, like, not look at my phone when her band was on. And... like, it seems like before you weren't, you didn't have a negative attitude, but you weren't, like, as excited for the kid. But now that you have and you are excited and she sees it, like, it was so good for me. And don't do it because of, like, your own personal gains, but it's so good for you to do something for someone else. I don't know, I was just sitting there thinking about you saying that, you, like, your wife is, like, really happy now.
Man, listen, when I was a kid and I had nothing, I'd be in a hotel room and I'd wake up. And I always had Lubes to call. You know, and I call Lubes, and I go, Lubes, I'm in this hotel room. Can you bring me $30, man? And he'd go, yeah, give me 35 minutes. And he would show up, and he'd bring me $35. He'd bring me a joint. He'd bring me a chicken cutlet sandwich. He'd bring me whatever he had in this house that he was going to throw out of the refrigerator. To him, he thought of me. And you know what? No matter how bad my fucking life was going at that time, not having a mom, not having the things I wanted to... you know, being a fucking loser. I mean, all these things got brightened when Lubes would bring me a chicken sandwich. Because it's like Georgie. Fucking Georgie pisses me the fuck off every time I talk to him on the phone, you know? I love George. He's my fucking brother. I love George. George has a lot of faults like me and you. But one fault he doesn't have is going out of his way to make people feel good. He has the same fault my mom had. And that's why those people, they die brokenhearted, because at the end they die alone. But at least all your life you tried really hard to make somebody's fucking day. You know, there's people that bring you food home at night. There's people that don't come home to the fucking house without fried chicken. Think about it, Lee. If you were sitting there every night at 2 in the morning, you got your fucking wheat bread, peanut butter, and jelly. Okay. It works for about 4 nights. After 4 nights, you're like, how many fucking pieces of wheat bread am I going to eat before I fucking die, correct?
Yeah.
What if I was your roommate, and every night I stopped somewhere and got a fucking steak for you with a newspaper? You know, who brings you the late edition of the Daily News? You know what I'm saying? That's what George used to do. And I never thought of it, and it annoyed me sometimes when he'd wake me up. You know who else did that? My mother. My mother would wake you up at 3 a.m. with a lobster tail from the best fucking place in the city. And I remember putting my shoes down and going, what the fuck you wake me up for? I have school the next day. Motherfucker, somebody just brought you a fucking lobster tail from Belly fucking Hung's in the city, a lobster egg roll for $36, and you're crying? Well, someday nobody's going to bring them to you, and that's what happened to me. That shit stopped when I was 15. Nobody ever brought me nothing at night again. You know who brought me shit when I lived in 94?
George,
and that's why George is still around.
Yeah.
Because he touched me. You know what, man? There's nothing like making somebody's day. And it doesn't require money. Doesn't require money. That's why you're all fucking full of shit. You don't need fucking roses. You don't need fucking nothing. You don't have to send nobody. You don't have to stop and buy them a box of chocolate. Just a small acknowledgement of what they're going through in their day. Just a fucking, you look fucking sensational today. I got on the plane the other day, and there was a black woman that had to be about 50, and she was dressed to the nines, and she had a big ass, so who gives a fuck? It's not like I was looking at her sexually, but I know that morning that she got up, and let's say she was supposed to be at the airport at 6 with me, she got up at 4 o'clock, and unlike me, who was in fucking Main Cabin Select on Virgin, you know, and with a white t-shirt on with a hole in it like a fucking pig that I am. And I was showered and I washed my ass and I washed my balls, but I also could fly with a suit on to represent the church and whatever, but I don't because I don't want people to think I'm a fucking insurance salesman. The church were regular motherfuckers, okay? But this black woman, I took one look at her and maybe she wasn't fucking, a model or something like that, but I knew that she put the effort into looking fucking beautiful. And sometimes with women especially, you don't have to fucking buy them flowers or tell them some bullshit or some chocolate. Just look them straight in the eye and tell them, let me tell you something, you look fucking sensational today. And they'll look at you and they know the motherfuckers that are hitting on them and they know the motherfuckers that are saying it like me, that I love the fucking shoes you got on. You understand me? Them shoes on fire. If I was to fuck you, I would fuck you with those shoes on. You don't say that. But in the back of your mind, you're thinking that, and you're saying that, and that comes out in your voice. You know what you did for that fucking woman?
Yeah.
You showed her that we're not all fucking savages and fucking pigs. You know? You don't know how my mother taught me that. She'd say, you take a fucking woman and you tell her how beautiful she fucking looks. If you see a woman and she's fucking beautiful, you tell them how fucking hot they look. My mother used to tell me that. My mother would see a hot woman and go, tell her how bad to the bone that bitch is. And I have to walk up at 4, I would be like 5. I have to walk up to him like a half a fag. Me and my mommy said, you look pretty. And then my mom would come back and go, no, dile lo que te dije, we puta. Dile correcto. Tell her that you said she looks fucking good, cocksucker. And that makes a woman's fucking day. You don't have to be no liar. And tell a woman, once she becomes your goomba, once she understands you, let's say a woman's married. And let's say you're married and you don't want to fuck them. She's just your goomba. She's your partner. Because sometimes you can't fuck every woman in the world, but you can make them your fucking, your what's that word? Like we made the Germans alias, what is?
Allies.
Allies. You can you can make them your allies, and then nobody can stop you because there's nobody stronger than a man or woman when they're friends, okay? So here's the fucking deal. You make a woman your ally, and there's some day that a woman gets up in the morning, she got the kids, her husband yells at her, you know, she gets in the car, she got a ticket. She comes into work and you look at her and go, let me tell you something. You look fucking tremendous today. If I had a knife and a fork, I would eat your asshole. Even though that's a terrible thing to say to a woman, she's going to go back to her desk and say, you know what? It's a beautiful fucking day to be alive. How do you like that, cocksucker? Because you went out of your way.
If I had a knife and a fork, I'd eat your asshole.
That's right. What the fuck are you going to do? What the fuck are you going to do? You know what I'm saying? That's the truth, Ruth. Making some, and it's really weird when you see them smiling, and you know. It's really weird when you see them smiling, and you say to yourself, wow, I did something fucking good today. And even if they don't fuck you, even if they don't suck your dick, you feel like a fucking man, don't you?
No, it feels great.
You feel like a fucking savage. What's the matter? You high?
Yeah.
It's Monday morning. Who's better than you?
No one.
You high? It's a sunny fucking day.
Oh, yeah.
You got food in your refrigerator. You got peanut butter and jelly. Hopefully this kid's going to call. Hopefully he won't call. But at least I made the fucking effort to apologize.
Sounds like a normal guy.
What are you going to do? You know, guys, I made the fucking effort to be a man and apologize on the air and to get his story and for him to call me names on. I wanted that today. I wanted you guys to hear what I did. I wanted you guys to really know about who I am, who the fuck you're dealing with, and the mistake that I made. So when you guys make a fucking mistake, you don't beat yourself up. I didn't beat myself up over this mistake either at first because I didn't think I had done anything bad. I didn't want to claim responsibility, so in my mind, I hadn't done anything bad, and it took me a while. So that's why I wanted him to call for that. I didn't want him to call to embarrass him or nothing like that. I was going to apologize from the bottom of my heart and tell him that, I didn't know what to expect. I'm just happy that he's alive today and he's still not getting... Because he got in trouble after that, too.
Oh, he did?
He got in trouble with some people after that, shortly after that. So I just wanted him to know that, I fucked up. And the bigger the man, the bigger the fucking mistake. Sometimes you have to apologize to people.
He probably knows.
No, I don't think he grasped it, that how bad I felt over the years about doing something like that, tying somebody up. Because I knew it's bad karma, and I never want it to happen to friends of mine. And my intentions were not bad at all that day. My intentions were stupid. My intentions were done for cocaine. I mean, what was I going to do with the coke? I was really going to plan on taking it on a plane and taking it to Jersey. I would have got arrested at some point of that scam.
Yeah.
I would have got arrested in Jersey. Somewhere along the line, I was going to pay my due that fucking week. So whatever was meant to be was meant to fucking be. Leland. What's on the agenda, Lee? Let me tell you something. So like I was saying, I'm back on the fucking Alpha Brain. Take your fucking Alpha Brain. Take your Hemp Force bars. The protein powder, I've been mixing the chocolate Hemp Force with the glucatin, the powder I bought on the side to help my recovery from muscles and all that shit. And I tell you what, I feel fucking great without that testosterone. Go on fucking on it. They're on my joeydiaz.net. Go through their webpage. There's got to be something on there you like. Listen, go look at their kettlebells. They make some sensational stuff. I had some great... Last weekend, Lee, you know, I had the best workout week of my life. I went to 2 jiu-jitsu classes and 2 kettlebell classes, okay? That's the best I could do at 50 fucking years old. And Saturday and Sunday in North Carolina, I did 45 minutes on the epileptical. So I basically only took one fucking day off. Monday and Wednesday, I went to the kettlebell classes and the TRX. And then Tuesday and Thursday, I went to fucking jiu-jitsu. And Friday, I flew to Long Island. Let me tell you something. It was a great week, but I didn't stretch before I did the kettlebells. And I could feel something. This fucking groin pull I got, I pulled it on stage. Oof. I didn't pull it at jiu-jitsu. I didn't pull it at fucking the kettlebell classes, throwing up fucking Russian swings or whatever the fuck. I pulled it on stage dancing during the first show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like I was giggling around on stage or something, and I fucking pulled it. And then outside after the first show, when I was talking to people, I could feel it flaring up. And I thought I had a fucking hernia. And the edible I ate made me more paranoid. I thought I had a fucking hernia. I thought that because I have high blood red cells that they conglomerated. And I got a fucking blood clot in my dick. I mean, I was thinking the worst fucking things.
High blood red cells.
I do have high blood red cells. I do, dog. I have too many of them. I got to go donate a pint of blood. What are you fucking giggling about, cocksucker? You think my blood cell count is something of humor?
No, it's blood cell count. And you just go saying high red count.
I do. I got a high red blood cell count. Whatever the fuck. What are you making fun of me for?
Why would you give me a fucking half an edible and you like to see where it goes? And this is where it goes.
This is where it fucking goes? Anyway, let me talk to you people about something from the heart here, all right? You probably tried Hulu.com. You're probably sick and tired of hearing me talking about Hulu Plus. But let me tell you something. You can watch your favorite shows anytime, any fucking where. Jimmy Kimmel Live, Shark Tank, fucking Scandal, Lost Law and Order. I mean, they're all on there, all right? And you can watch every fucking episode. You can sit there and watch the whole fucking season instead of wasting time, all right? Plus, you got fucking Hulu Originals. You got Behind the Mask and The Wrong Fucking, what's his name? The Wrong Man's. Yeah, whatever the fuck the name of the show. But there's something else that's an original on there that I fucking like, that my wife watches on there, and it's tremendous. Again, what are you busting my balls for, all right? For $7.99 a month, you can catch up on your current shows, binge on your own fucking favorites, and you can watch a movie. You can stream it anywhere, on your phone, on your fucking tablet, on your computer. $7.99 a month. What I'm going to give you is 2 weeks for fucking free. You're going to go to my box, joeydiaz.net, right there on my fucking webpage, and there's going to be a fucking click. Click on to Hulu Plus. What are you?
We got a call.
Oh, shit. What's happening, my brother?
What's going on, dude?
Nothing, brother. Waiting on you. I'm so happy you fucking called, Kent. I love you with all my heart. That's all I wanted to tell you. You know, I don't know how many fucking 100,000 of people listen to this show, Kent, and they've heard the story over the years, and I just wanted to call for you to tell you how sorry I am and how bad I felt about that all these years, and I'm happy that you're still around and you're kicking ass. That's it.
Right on, brother. Right on.
It was 26 years ago, and I know it was a bad day for you, and it was all from addiction, Kent. That's it. And I talk about it. It was all an addiction thing. It wasn't because I was a bad person. It wasn't like I kept doing it. I basically never got in fucking trouble again, Kent. So from the bottom of my heart, I'm just really sorry how I acted that day, and I'm sorry how things went down. Beside that, how are you, my friend?
No. It's all good, man. You're forgiven.
I love you, brother. And that's it. What's been going on in your life since then? Talk to me about what the fuck has happened the last 26 years since I saw you.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's been kind of crazy, man. You know, I kept on with that addiction bullshit for a while, man. And I ended up going to prison a couple times, man. And it was just ugly, man. You know, it came to a point where I was tired of getting what I was getting and had to change some things, man. I didn't want to wear orange the rest of my fucking life.
Yeah, it's somebody taking your freedom over that fucking powder is just ridiculous. And you know, Kent, I didn't learn my lesson. I just been clean for this month is 7 years. Oh my God, it was 7 years on Friday. So it was 7 years that I've been sober from cocaine, man. You know, it took me to for the age of 44 or something like that, you know, and now I feel a lot better. And Kent, I got to be honest with you, I thought about you every fucking day, man. Every time I get on stage, I think about you. I was always, when I found you on Facebook, I was happy that you were alive. You know, I knew you had your problems. How long have you been clean for now?
You know, I've been off of that shit for probably about 8 years now, you know. I don't drink that much at all, ever. You know, I just partake in the bud. You know, the edibles and all the great things that are going on with that these days. And, you know, I'm a little banged up, so it is medicinal for me. You know, I don't have to eat handfuls of Advil. I can just, you know, partake in a little medicine, and I'm good.
And what kind of work are you doing now?
You know, I'm a sustainability manager for a big manufacturer out here in Tucson. We sell windows and skylights and solar tubes all over the world, man. And I turn it into a zero-waste facility. And now I'm getting ready to put a bunch of solar on one of our big buildings. And just trying to set the bar for manufacturing as far as sustainability. Trying to do the right thing, man. We're trashing the planet, and it's got to change. And just trying to do my part, man. I enjoy it. I was in banking for 20 years, man. And then that whole banking thing hit the fan, what, about 3-4 years ago? Lost everything. Lost over $1.5 million worth of real estate equity. Just got a really bad taste in my mouth. And so now I do something that I enjoy, man. You know?
You miss selling cars on 28th Street in Boulder. You ever think of those days? Yeah.
That was some crazy shit, man. Remember Peter Pinto and the Reverend Wayne Means?
Yeah, I talked to Wayne Means about 5 years ago. Like we said, he was still back in Gebhardt. It was maybe even 4 or 3 years ago. The guy that the other day it made me laugh because I was talking to you on the phone. I called you Veluch. You know who used to call you Veluch?
Who?
Carlos Valverde. Remember the guy that went to jail for bank robbery? He had like 9 kids. He was an Italian from Boston. He was from Boston. Yeah. And at lunchtime, he would rob banks while he was selling cars. Him, Norm Ouellette. Remember Norm Ouellette and all those fucking savages?
Yeah, those guys were savages, man. They were.
They were fucking savages, man. We were kids compared to them, Vela. We were kids.
Yeah. Yeah,
and we were
yeah,
selling, that was a fucking heavy-duty dealership. I mean, you had to be a good salesman to work at the Subaru store in those days. Wayne Means, the little guy, his son, fucking Jim Wheeler, who I kept in touch with for years after that. It was really a fucking experience. And I'll tell you what, man, half the shit I learned from those years, I apply today in my regular life. So it's amazing. This stuff you talk about, stability, and that you're doing now, this management position you got... This probably started with what you learned on the line, man.
Yeah, man. I learned a lot selling cars, man. It was a trip, dude. It was a fucking trip, man.
Oh, my God. I still remember you saying to me, drive me to the liquor store. We would go to the liquor store at lunchtime or something while we were selling cars, and we'd get like a bottle of something. I remember that's how... Lunchtime.
We'd get a bottle. A bottle of vodka and a fucking fruit punch and spike the fruit punch and drink all day and do lines at the fucking car dealership.
It was fucking so much fun. I remember we used to take the Coke bindles and empty them and put them on the floor by Wayne Means, and he would find them and he would go nuts. He would pick them up. He would go nuts. And then we would get cotton balls and put vinegar on them and put them around his desk, and he would come in and go... Somebody's playing with vinegar again. He would get in his car and go home. He hated the smell of fucking vinegar. And Peter Pinto, that fucking thief. Oh, my God. Those guys were fucking thieves. They were robbing our fucking Subaru money. You know who did good after that, Kent Vela, who still made millions? Rick Visser.
Rick Visser, the principal.
Rick Visser was a high school principal who quit to sell cars. And he became a fucking millionaire from selling cars, dog. He had this velvet hammer and John Karabatsis. I saw John years later in Arizona at a restaurant one night. It's a small fucking world. Veluch, I'm happy you called today, brother. It means the world to me. I wanted you to do this for a long time, to just straighten out the air and let everybody know how I felt. It wasn't a proud day for me. You know, somehow or another, it worked itself out.
I'm glad you're still alive. I'm glad you're straightening out your life. You got a beautiful baby, you know?
Yeah, that's all we could do, man. And I had a baby in Boulder. You know, I had a daughter in Boulder after I got out, and I fucked that up, you know, with the wife. I fucked that whole thing up with the blow and the bullshit. So I got into comedy, and this is where it led me, fucking Kent. So,
yeah.
At the same breath.
Hey, man, if I'm ever out in L.A., brother, I'll look you out.
Okay, and if I'm down there in Tucson, I'm going to look you up. I like to buy you lunch and talk and give you a hug and tell you I love you. All right, my man?
You do that. I love you too, big guy. You take care of yourself.
You take care. We'll be in touch.
All right, brother. Bye.
So what do you think of that, Lee Syatt?
That's crazy.
You dirty fucking bitch. We did it.
That is crazy.
We did it. That, I'm so fucking happy now, and I'm so happy that you people from the church heard this shit today live. That I don't know. I'm overwhelmed. I feel like crying, but I can't.
What did it feel like when he said, like, you're forgiven? Like, he didn't even think about it? And
no, he thought about it, dog. You had to think about it. You had to think about this because... But if you're a human being, you live your life and you say, you know what, this is not going to happen again. And he said it. We never learned. We didn't learn. He just been clean 8 years. I've been clean 7 years. Nobody ever fucking learned that lesson. You have to get it out of your system. And I'm happy I fucking got it out of my system. I'm really happy. And I know I get a lot of emails from young kids that are doing drugs and whatever. You know what, man? I'm not going to fucking sit here and tell you to get off them, because you're not. 20,000 people told me to get off them. I told them, I'll suck my dick. Fuck you, old man. That's what I am. I'm a fucking old man. But you know what? In time, I want you to quit on your own. Just one day, when you've had your fill, when you had that first mishap, I never want that day to happen. Because, see, my mishap was a bad mishap that could have been worse.
Yeah.
A bullet could have gone off. What if we were driving and I was high and I killed the old couple that was crossing the street? You know, when I drive here at night, there's a bus stop.
Mm-hmm.
And there's people always at that bus stop. I don't see them. And one night, about a month ago, I was driving, and I said to myself, what if I was coked up driving home now, and I ran over these people? Something bad was going to happen to wake me up. And something bad always happens to wake everybody up who does drugs. The extent of it is what we can't control. Why go there? It could be you falling down the stairs drunk and getting a couple stitches and having a black eye, or somebody ODing at your fucking house, or you kidnapping a motherfucker. Anything could fucking happen. So, you know, I hope everybody learned something from this. I'm never going to goof on this subject again on Twitter or nothing. And it's so funny because the people love it on Facebook. I got like 600 fucking likes. I can't believe that shit. When I put something, have a great day, they tell me to go fuck myself. But that's you learn about fucking people, and it's funny. I always wanted to add comedy to it because for me it was so fucking bad, but it's done. That's it. This is how you do it, people. You move on. 26 years later, I'm finally free from the shackles.
I would really love to hear what, like if in another year, I would really love to hear his point of view of it. Like not even just like the whole way the story went down, but just like knowing you're kidnapped, being like, I could, like what he was thinking in the trunk. Like, that would blow my mind.
Hey, brother, it blows my fucking mind. And I pray for you guys and the people in my life that something like that never happens to them. Because maybe I did it, and now it's got to be. But fuck it, bitches. Fuck all you motherfuckers. So, you got your shout-outs. You got some fucking music. You got your fucking on it. You got your Hulu Plus. One thing you didn't get, and I'm going to talk to you people about this from the heart, is Dollar Shave Club. I didn't bring... a Dollar Shave Club to the road this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I have one in my bag, and I have one in the shower that I leave here, and then I have one in my bag. For some reason, I took my medication out of the fucking bag, and I left a razor. So when I flew out, I left it, and I used a hotel razor. And now I see the fucking difference.
Oh, you do?
You follow me? So I got to tell you people something. If you bought the razors that they gave me at the hotel, that's what you would usually get for that price. You go spend $6 on a bag of fucking razors at CVS and see what you get. You get shit that takes your fucking hair lobes out. and the first level of fucking skin out. You get some bad, they rip your skin out. Even if you put heavy duty protectant on your face, a shaving cream, it's still the knives, there's no aloe in it. It's like knives made by Puerto Ricans. They're not contoured or nothing. I went home and I looked at the Dollar Shave Club after I shaved, and I saw the real value in the handle, the fucking craftsmanship of that thing. That thing falls. I drop that shit every day in my fucking shower, and it doesn't break. And usually the thing falls off, doesn't fucking fall off. Listen, you get that same razor I have at home for either $1 a month, $6 a month, or $9 a month. All packages vary your fucking budget. Stop wasting your time with these simple fucking blades. I'm telling you, I'm not even reading. I'm talking to you people from the fucking heart here because that's how I roll. I seen the comparison this week. If you go to CVS, I'm not picking on CVS. If you go to a pharmacy and spend $1 for fucking razors, see what you get. You get a fucking butter knife with plastic on it that could break or whatever. I'm giving you fucking one thing a month with four blades, with two fucking strips on it. That's what you're going to get. But this is fucking heavy duty. It's real. Listen, all I'm telling you is go to joeydiaz.net. Go look at my tour schedule. And while you're there, boom, go to Dollar Shave Club and press
church
in the fucking box. Get that deal. $1 a month, $6 a month, or $9 a month. Read it. I could sit here and preach it to you. I'm telling you that this weekend I found out how good of a razor it is, okay? I found out how great of a fucking price it is for a dollar. So that's all I'm telling. I'm not going to pick on you no more. I'm not going to say another fucking word about it. The fuck, Lee? You either half a goomy and you get like a half a fucking fag. See? I told people to stop with the Obamacare that died last week. That's it. Now we're on to typhoons and a tornado in Kansas. Nobody gives a fuck about Obamacare no more. They're walking around with no insurance. Just don't fall, fucking bitches. Like I said, it's November 18th. What do we got? Maybe 5 weeks to fucking Christmas. You might be sitting there unemployed, scratching your balls, thinking about what you could fucking do. There's 1,000 things you could fucking do. Go get your license, go down to UPS, deliver packages over the fucking holidays. Go rob turkeys from people's backyards and say, I don't give a fuck. There's something you got to do. I hope you learned something from today's fucking podcast. I don't know what it was. I don't know. I'm too fucking high to even think about what the fuck.
What did you say? Oh, fucking somebody's been playing with vinegar again. They're fucking, like, you just didn't like the smell of vinegar?
Wayne Means would lose his mind if he fucking smelled vinegar. So that's called cracking somebody in the business, where you take them out of the game psychologically.
You love to play games with people.
Yeah, so they take cotton balls and put vinegar on them and spray them a little bit unstrategically. He'd walk in, he'd be talking to you about, today, brother, everybody's going to be looking sharp today. Your shoes are shine. You got... Anybody smell vinegar? I smell vinegar, you motherfuckers. And he'd look around. And after he'd find a cotton ball, then he'd get in his car and go home, and he wouldn't come back. And then he'd call like a half hour later, tell those motherfuckers to pick up the vinegar. Then the next day he'd come in, he hated cocaine. He hated people who did cocaine. He hated the whole thing. So he'd get a package and put like talcum powder in it and put it close to his desk. And he'd be walking, brother, how you doing today? Because he was a real motivational guy. He was a biker. And in the fucking off season, he would go down to Florida and bike. And then during the winter, he'd come up and sell cars. He'd cut his hair and shave his beard. It was amazing. He'd cover his tattoos and he wouldn't do drugs. He was just one of these fucking outlaw bikers that moved guns and shit like that. And he'd sell cars for 6 months. His old lady lived in Boulder. So he'd come up there and he was a fucking man. Bro, that guy got through to me at a young age. I had no family, no fucking parents, and some car manager. He must have got through to, because he would, that's the guy who used to tell me, brother, it's all about the church and what's happening now, today. We don't give a fuck about what you did or what you're going to do or your future. It's how you're going to make it happen today. How much are you going to make? How many cars you're going to fucking sell? How many people you're going to talk to? You got to be prepared. Your teeth got to be clean. You got to have deodorant on. Your balls got to be washed. Your shoes got to be shined. You got to take it to the hoop today. It's fucking Monday, bitch. He was one of those type of guys. So, I guess he hit Vela and he got to me too. You know what I'm saying? And when I got busted, he was very good to me. He never judged me. I think he even sent me a couple hundred when I was in prison, Wayne Means. Dog, you know what? I've been blessed. I've had some good fucking people around me. And I hate using that word, blessed. I feel like one of the housewives from Beverly Hills that used that fucking word. Lee, how you doing on that goomy bear? Look at you. You're all fucked up already. Get it together, Lee. This is why I want you eating edibles every day. I'm coming over here every day. You're going to eat a half of these goomies. You get it together. You got to build your resistance. The holidays are coming.
Oh,
we're going to some heavy-duty parties. You know what I'm saying? You're going to be swinging with some people, smoking some dope. Plus, they're doing the movie theater thing on the 25th. We're going to all see Grudge Match. Did you see they played it during the UFC?
Yeah.
Motherfuckers are going crazy on Twitter. Mad Flavor, was that you? No, it's my fucking lookalike sister. Yeah, it's me, you dumb motherfuckers. Dropping knowledge on De Niro. Your boobs, bitch.
Now, Big Pussy's going to get people be like, oh, are you the guy from Grudge Match? That guy.
That's right. That's a good point. Now he's going to be, people going to be saying to him, congratulations. Is that you and Grudge? Like, that's not fucking me. That's a guy that looks like me. Fuck you, bitch. Now you know what I felt like for the last 10 fucking years, cocksucker. What's up, Lee? What do you got planned? Nothing.
I planned nothing for this because I knew
when are you going to Vegas?
Wednesday night, come back Thursday night, Friday morning.
You taking the girl with you?
No, she has school. I'm literally just going.
Who are you
going
to meet there?
No one.
You're going by yourself like a fucking stroots? Well,
play blackjack, play some. I love, I'm aware I'm going to lose some money, but I fucking, I need a day and a half of fucking try, I don't know.
Well, you better get that. As long as all your work is done, then you can go wherever the fuck you want. But if you, are you driving?
Yeah, oh, that's the biggest reason I want to go.
Why you want to go?
I fucking, if I had another, like, honestly, if I didn't do this, I would love to be a truck driver. I drove back and forth 3 times here from Boston, and I love it. I love just listening to music, and especially when, like, when there's no traffic, you can just go like 80, 90 miles an hour, and especially like through Arizona with like the Red Mountain. I fucking love driving.
Are you fucking crazy? Are you fucking retarded?
No, I'm serious.
You want a life of hemorrhoids and shit like that?
Well, I'm obviously,
I could see you being a truck driver. I would love it. You don't like doing shit. Cargo in, put animals in the back, a box of fucking burgers. Who's better than you? You would sit in that chair till your heart would blow the fuck up, wouldn't you?
No, well, I like the driving, asshole. Fuck you. Oh,
you
want
to drive?
No, oh yeah, it's a 3-hour drive.
So why don't we drive across the country? Drive me to my shows.
I would do it in a second.
We get like a Lincoln Town Car, like a Prius, and go across the country with Lee and Uncle Joey.
I would love to see you
50
in a
states in 50 Dude, fucking days. What do you
I
think?
Would absolutely.
You
I
would
fuck,
be a driver?
I love driving, yeah.
I don't want to hear no story. 49 states. I'm not allowed in Seattle.
If we're doing it, I'm putting up a partition. Because you always fucking, for whatever reason, like you're high energy everywhere. But in the car, you're telling me to switch lanes, yelling at me to know where I'm going. So if I was driving, I'd need a partition so I couldn't see or hear you. Because it's fucking, I mean, you get lost and stuff.
Look at this fucking little Jew giggling and shit. You see why I can't give him nothing? Listen, people, you know how we do it here. Thank you very much. It's a fucking Monday the 18th. Go rock the house. I hope you had a great time listening to the podcast. I'd like to thank Hulu Plus. I'd like to thank Onnit. I'd like to thank fucking Dollar Shave Club for being great products. If not, we wouldn't fucking push them to you. I'd like to thank Chibo Chew for always giving us love and the best fucking products available. And most important, I want to thank you guys for listening to the podcast and giving me a fucking chance to tell people to suck my dick and all that fun shit. What are we closing with? Do we even have a closing
song? Yeah, we do.
Which one?
Megalomania.
Oh, shit. Put that on. I just want to get to a main part here. Put it on from the beginning. This is a tremendous Black Sabbath song. I don't know how many times I sat down at night, confused, 17, 16, with a hit of acid in me, and I'd sit there in the darkly with earphones on. And listen to this. Myself inside the shadow. Are you fucking kidding me? People can't do this today.
No.
12 hours of this tripping your balls off on acid, listening to this shit. Are you kidding me or what?
Yeah, it's kind of intense.
Hold on. Echo to the dreams of my soul. Now speed it up to the guitar really a little bit. I'll tell you.
How far?
Go
okay.
A minute.
Okay.
Another 30 seconds. Watch this now. This is real Ozzy. This is one of my all-time favorite albums. It's all fucking Sabotage. The side one is the thrill of it all. Fucking amazing. Then you switch it to side two, Hole in the Sky, Symptom of the Universe. And this fucking jam, Everybody Leave Me Alone. By that time, you're looking around the wall. You're seeing spots. The cars that are passing by. The lights are going into your apartment. You're tripping your fucking balls off. You think somebody's going to kick the door down. Your heart's fucking beating. And all of a sudden, Ozzy Osbourne takes it to the next fucking level. Crank this bitch up. And you're sitting there waiting for this to come. Because see, it's daylight. In your mind, you hear these pianos, it's the sun coming out and shit. And all of a sudden, Ozzy comes out with that fucking cowbell, and it's over! That's fucking Tony Iommi. Are you kidding me or what? Guy's missing fingertips and plays that guitar like it's the last fucking... I don't even know. Hit it! Oh, shit. I'm 16, tripping my fucking balls off. I'm blotter acid, holding onto my head to stop the voices and shit. You understand me? Listen to this shit. It's like the trip inside a separate mind. The ghost from tomorrow, from my favorite dream. It's telling me to leave it all behind. Are you fucking kidding me or what? Grab your fucking balls! It's fucking Monday, cocksuckers! They got your money and their fucking pocket. Get out there, kill somebody. I love you. Stay black, bitches. Thursday night, Old Rock House, St. Louis. Next weekend, American Comedy Company, San Diego. Lee's coming with his dad. Get your tickets now, motherfucker. That's how we do it on a Monday. I love you, cocksuckers. Lee, give him a kiss. Fat Man Alert, get your shit together. End with this shit, Lee. Hit me. Listen to this motherfucker.
Stick me.
You fucking nuts, so what? How is that, Lee?
Now that the show is over, don't forget to sign up for your free trial of Hulu Plus. Hulu Plus lets you binge on thousands of hit shows anytime, anywhere, on your TV, PC, smartphone, or tablet. Support this podcast and get an extended free trial of Hulu Plus when you go to HuluPlus.com/Joey, or just go to JoeyDiaz.net and click on the Hulu Plus banner. And don't forget to sign up for DollarShaveClub.com. You'll get high-quality razors sent to your door each and every month for a fraction of what you pay at retail. Now, go to DollarShaveClub.com/church, or just go to JoeyDiaz.net and click on the Dollar Shave Club.